Poorly Read.
Hello everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Okay, so I want you to redo that as if...
Oh, is this what we're doing at the beginning of
each
right now, okay?
As if you are alone in the house and an intruder has broken in and you're trying to call the police without being too loud because you don't want to alert the intruder to your presence.
Hello? Yeah, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read. Always put it in!
Oh my god, and the police have got like a tally chart, man. Oh, he's put it in again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, the comedy podcast where we talk about things and have a laugh.
Yes, like all the other comedy podcasts. They all talk about things and have a laugh too, but we do it better.
Oh, God. So what are we talking about today, though?
Well, we're kicking things off with chapter 4.
What? Do you know what? I got really excited then because I thought it was the first episode of Half Blood Prince. Because you were like, oh, we're kicking things off. I was like, oh my God, yeah. And I was like, oh no.
No, we did that last week and you didn't get nearly that excited.
I know. Oh my God, sorry.
So we're kicking things off this week with chapter 4, Horace Slughorn.
Horace Slughorn. I feel that was accurate and I love it.
Good. I'm glad you think that.
So Harry feels awkward as fuck because he's never been alone with Dumbledore outside of school.
Yeah, and the last time he spoke to Dumbledore, it was an intense, heated encounter in Dumbledore's office.
So yeah, Dumbledore's like, Harry, I give you permission to use any spell you want outside of school, but I don't think you have to because, I don't know if you know this, Harry, but you're with me.
Yes, I'm something of a badass.
Yeah, I'm a badass wizard. Shut your mouth. Oh, sorry.
And Harry gets his first taste of apparition.
Yeah, doesn't it sound fucking horrible?
Yeah, it does.
But I don't think I would do it. Would you?
Yeah. Fast transport. I deal with it. To be able to just disappear and reappear exactly where you want to be, that's worth, like, I don't know. There's not a lot I wouldn't do for that convenience, to be honest.
It sounds so unpleasant that I don't know if I reckon I would dread it too much. That I'd be like, no, I don't think so. I'd rather just flew. Thank you very much. Do you know what, though? All fucking wizard transportation sounds fucking horrible. It's sort of like spinny and vomit-inducing. You know, it's not... Why can't it just be nice?
Yeah, I mean, flu powder sounds like as long as you don't, you know, get the ash in your mouth, which apparently happens to Harry.
Yeah, but like I remember when he first flews and he says it's like spinning around really, really fast and all that kind of shit. Then Portkey, you get your fucking like navel jerked. And then with apparition, you get all like the compression. It's just all of it's horrible.
Yeah, but still, it's instant transport.
Yeah, I don't know though.
That's like to just eliminate all traveling time from my life. Well, definitely. Like, name your price.
I don't know. I feel like I would try it and not like it and just resort to getting the bus.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm just that kind of guy.
No way. I'm all about efficiency. Efficiency at any cost.
Oh, fucking hell. See, Harry says it feels like he's being forced through a tight rubber tube.
Yes. Harry's scar hasn't been hurting recently. Does Dumbledore ask him that?
Yeah, he does. He goes, Harry, have you been sticking a fork in your head again? And he's like, nah, I gave up on that last year. And he's like, good. I don't think it's very good for you. And I think a lot of your problems stem from your self-injuries. Yes. Like that time I caught you sticking a ruler up your jacksie. I just wanted to see how long I was, but from the inside.
Turns out a ruler's too straight and rigid. I needed a bendy tape measure.
Yeah, Dumbledore's like asking about his scar, and he's like, ah, Voldemort has probably been using occlumency now because he doesn't want you peering on in on his thoughts and knowing what he thinks about when he masturbates. What do you think Voldemort thinks about?
Yeah, I was just trying to think that. I don't think he's really capable of that kind of desire. So let's make up our own version.
I think, do you remember in Bride, like, first of all, I know that you don't, but in Bride of Chucky, he...
You are correct.
There's a scene where the doll's like masturbating in the bathroom to a magazine which is full of like crime scene photos. And he's like, fucking hell. So I think Voldemort probably does that.
Yeah, or like Snake Watcher catalogues. Black Mamba spotted in the undergrowth. He's like, oh yeah, voyeur cam.
Oh, I love it when that snake shakes his tail. The rattling is all I need. Yes. And then Bellatrix is like, is everything okay in there? And he's like,
Yes, but Bella, what was that site for candid fang milking?
Oh, it was called, I don't know, Sneak and Beak. There we go. Oh, God.
It's called Slither In, Slither Out.
Oh, my God. Harry's like, do you know what, mate? Why can't we apparate straight into this place that we're looking for?
Yeah, and Dumbledore basically just kind of says it's a mark of respect that wizards just sort of don't do that. And also most wizard dwellings have enchantments to stop that from happening.
Yeah, magical protection. They have a magical version of a giant condom just stretched over their house. You try to break in, but you can't unless you've got a crazy girlfriend who's got a pin and poked a hole in the top.
Yes, unless you want to go full psycho, Harry, but don't do that. They'll be in your life forever, but not on the terms you want.
Sometimes, Harry, it's best just to put him in a car, jam your foot on the accelerator and watch him glide off the side of a cliff. You know what I'm saying, Harry?
If you can't be with them forever, then they can't live.
I mean, like, £50 a month in child support. That's a lot, Harry. Do you know how many Drupal's best blowing gums I could buy for that?
Once again, Harry wonders how they got to this point. He asked what he thought was an innocent question.
But you know what Harry's more shocked by?
What's that?
Dumbledore has a black hand.
Don't let Hermione see that, sir.
He's like, Harry, like, you won't believe what trouble this has caused me all summer. Like, Harry, I was just trying to cook a chicken. And you won't believe it, Harry, but he added seasoning to it. Oh, God.
It was quite unbelievable. I wanted chicken and chips, but he gave me chicken with rice and peas.
Oh, God. So, yeah, they reach a house and it looks a fucking mess, doesn't it?
It does. It looks a bloody state. They wander around for a bit. There's blood on the walls. And Harry's like, shit, looks like whoever we're looking for is gone. Dumbledore says, I don't think so.
Yes, isn't this what all wizard dwellings look like?
It certainly is after I visited them.
Oh, I haven't seen this much blood since, well, last Tuesday.
Yes.
And Harry's like, for fuck's sake. Oh, that's not what happens, is it?
No. Dumbledore sticks his wand in a chair and then it pops back into a man.
Yeah. And he just fully just unzips, thrusts his hips against that little crease in between like the seat cushion and the backrest.
Yeah.
And he goes, pop, pop, pop.
And he comes, you didn't have to stick it in that hard, Dumbledore.
And I was like, well, sometimes it's quite hard to get past the sphincter, you see. An extra bit of pressure and an aggressive spit in your hand.
If anything, you made it easier for me by turning into a chair, Horace. All the folds.
Ooh, it's all yeasty. Right, yeah, and fucking a man appears, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then Dumbledore says, ah, see, Horace, if the Death Eaters really had come to call, the Dark Mark would have been above the house. And he's like, ah, of course, a detail I missed.
Yeah. But then, like, wouldn't that look super suspicious to any Death Eaters that, like, did happen to see it? And they'd be like, wait, did we do anything to that place?
I mean, maybe not, because remember what Karkaroff said, that not all the Death Eaters knew each other.
Yeah, so, true.
So maybe if the Dark Mark was above it, they wouldn't bother going into the house.
Yeah, and I mean, are they just acting, like, randomly and independently? Or are they all acting on orders? Because if Voldemort's flitting about as well, and he sees a house with a Dark Mark over it that he hasn't ordered anything to happen to, he's going to be like, WT fuck.
I guess so, but then what's the chances that Voldemort's going to be, like, around? I kind of feel like, unless it's a really special task, that Voldemort kind of just sits at home. He self-isolates, Tom.
He self-isolates, yeah. He's got one of those maps of England with little figures on it that he pushes around one of those sticks.
I've never understood why those sticks are a thing.
I don't know. Just scoots the little figures around the map with.
Because don't you use those in... Is it in backgammon or something, you use sticks like that?
I don't know. I've played backgammon once, but I used my fingers. Said Dumbledore.
Yeah, I just imagine that's what Hagrid's like when... Oh god, when he's at like a wizard like stag party or something, and they're all just talking about all the crazy things they've done.
Well, use my fingers. It's harder than you'd think. You seen the size of my fingers?
I thought it was going to be a little poking soid, but it ended up looking like I'd ripped a hole in the soid of a tent. But alas. And it's Horace Slughorn, and Dumbledore's like, ah, you kind of had much time to create all this drama. You must have had, what, like 2 or 3 minutes warning at most?
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, yes, I had 2 minutes, actually.
I was having a bath. That's going to be Slughorn's voice from now on.
And his catchphrase.
Yeah.
I was having a bath.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because he's been complaining about how he's an old man and he's not suited to... He knows what you're here for, Dumbledore, and I'm retired and old and I can't do it anymore. Dumbledore's like, yeah. Well, you seem to kick yourself into gear pretty fucking quickly when you knew I was coming. Prick.
Yeah, which is true, actually. How did he get around so fast?
Yeah.
And he got dry and everything.
Yeah, it's almost like he's full of shit.
Yeah. Maybe that's what he's full of, not crystallised pineapple. Just shit. He's like, I haven't had broccoli in 7 years, so I'm very backed up, Dumbledore. I'm just full of shit. You see? And Harry's like, so what would happen if I poked you right now? I was like, then shit would come out, Harry. It'd be like a Play-Doh machine.
Oh.
And just like a Play-Doh machine, it comes out in a star shape. Oh, that's right.
Oh, yes, there's a reason they call it the chocolate starfish, Harry.
Oh, pass me some hot dog flavoured water. Oh, alas.
Alright, they put the room all back together. Yes. Horace sees Harry and he's like, oh, that's how you thought you'd persuade me, is it? Well, you can forget it. I'm old and retired and...
And he's much too old for me now, Dumbledore. Yeah. I want Chamber of Secrets, Harry Potter. Oh, God. I want his Play-Doh to be pink still. Do you understand me? And Devil is like, Horace, please, I've got a black hand now. Oh, fucking hell.
Don't want any fuzz on those peaches, Dumbledore.
Oh, it's all... Oh, my God.
Dumbledore's like, yes, yes, you'll fit in well at Hogwarts still.
Yeah, so then what happens? Yeah, so Dumbledore's like, okay, I need to go and take a shit. Harry, sit here and convince Slughorn to come back.
All this talk of being full of shit has made me need a shit. So I'm going to go and shit.
I'll take a magazine with me. What have you got?
I'm not going to read it.
Do you know what I have got, Dumbledore? I don't know if you know, but a student of yours sent me this book. Oh, God. So, yeah, then Slughorn's there and he's like looking at Harry. He's like, so you're Harry Potter, are you?
And Harry's like, yes.
And then he's like, yes, I told your mother, you know. Oh, brilliant witch. Blah, 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 blah. I'm so sad she died.
Yes, muggle born, you know, which is, of course, fascinating because she was a great witch. And Harry's like, hey, none of that.
Yeah, my best friend's a muggle born.
Yeah.
She's the best witch in our year. He's like, oh, I'm not prejudiced. I just hate... I'm not even going to say it. No, I'm not prejudiced against muggleborns, Harry. I just can't stand the sight of them.
I just don't want them in my school.
Or in my country. Do you know what I'm saying, Harry?
Yes, but you must think I'm prejudiced.
Yes, I'm sure they bring lots of valuable things to the economy. I mean, if you can list one, I'd be happy to know, Harry. Yeah. But... But yeah, he's like, no, I'm not prejudiced. Didn't I just say she was my favourite student?
Yes.
And then I thought, that's weird. So then, because I spent a little while after thinking, well, what is what he said prejudice?
I think the surprise with which he said it implies a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But then maybe he's just like, because he's, all he says is that, like, it's funny how that happens, isn't it? Which, like, I guess it kind of is. If they don't have any magical blood in their lineage at all, and then suddenly out pops a wizard, that they can be just as powerful or better than people who've had it in their blood for generations. That is kind of like, huh.
I guess something is kind of what he's saying. But knowing how it works, that you would have had a wizard relative in your bloodline somewhere, it never just comes completely out of the blue.
Oh, is that, is it?
Yeah, so if you are a muggleborn, you would have had a wizard at some point in your family tree.
Right.
It just might be quite, like, far removed. There's no one, as far as I know, who is muggleborn and has no wizards at all ever in their past family.
So there must have been, like, one original wizard or witch.
I think so, yeah.
There must have been one original magic user. And the number of them must be increasing if that can just happen, even with a distant lineage.
Well, yeah, I guess, like, sort of, like, in the beginning, whenever that was, like, they... There must have been like a few who were born with magic, who were like true muggleborns, and then just the intermingling with them and other actual muggles.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I sort of think it's not that he's... I feel like he's one of those people who don't think they're racist at all, and they're not for the most part, but there's an aspect of them that still thinks that this... race or ethnicity or ilk of people is slightly below another because of a particular reason, but to them it's not a hateful reason, it's just something that they deep down of kind of just feel as like a fact, but it's not something that's even completely apparent to them, if that makes sense. I've come across people like that before.
Yeah, well, what I've come across more people is they don't necessarily think that someone with that kind of you know, that's different to them racially is like below or inferior. They just always think it's worth pointing out.
Yeah, just yes, for whatever reason. I think it's that whole kind of thing.
And it's like, you know, oh, well, you know, what's her name's boyfriend who's black? And then they'll go on tell you something that has nothing to do with the fact that he's black. Yeah. But they just thought they'd better mention it.
Yeah.
Because it's just like a talking point.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's not racism, but it is a sort of... I think the best term for it is like an unconscious bias, I think.
Yeah, but then a bias towards what? Like, what do they think of that person?
They think that they don't see them, they see the otherness of them.
Yeah.
As being so distinctly separate from them, or... Because the fact that you would say that as like a talking point... It's not that you have a problem, but it's that you recognize that as something...
That separates them from you.
Yeah, something not necessarily abnormal, but out of the ordinary.
Yeah, I think recognizing the otherness of them is a good way of putting it.
Yeah, because it's like... Because I think a lot of the time, a lot of the things that arise in a woke society, it does come from an unconscious bias where you're not in... where you might behave a certain way or say a certain thing or have a certain thought pattern, which you don't think of it as racist, but it's a conditioned response that you've not been aware of to think of something in a certain way.
Yeah, but then is that inevitable in a, say, you know, outside London in a lot of places, but in not built up areas, everyone is white, like everyone.
Yeah, it totally is. And so I think that when you are in that situation, because after high school, everywhere I went to was quite far outside of London. And I noticed the difference
yeah.
in the way that people thought and spoke about things and sometimes reacted to me. And it's not that people are racist, but it is that they aren't as socially conscious, or they're not as woke as someone who does have exposure to different things is, by virtue of the fact that they don't have that exposure, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. You know? Just by virtue of the fact that they don't, haven't had that exposure to that level, to a level of diversity, to a level of racial diversity throughout their life.
And that's kind of there's nothing wrong or right about that, because it just
is
a way something is.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I think is always something that shouldn't be excused is someone who has no desire or willingness to stand corrected or to admit that they might be ignorant to a situation or that kind of thing. Because if you're not aware that something you said was wrong, but you are the kind of person who is willing to, who is completely open to be like, I'm so sorry, I didn't know, or that kind of thing, then it's just education, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But when you meet resistance against that kind of thing, that's when the problems arise, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think resistance to that kind of thing is more rife in societies that are more in the more monochrome societies.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which is, you know, you can see how that happens.
Yeah.
Because the otherness is more pronounced.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's the serious chat.
Yes, that's the grapes and follies. I'm trying to think of an antithesis to japes and jolly.
Oh.
Oh god.
Oh, fucking hell. Right, so Slughorn and Harry chat. They while Dumbledore's off in the bathroom, Slughorn's all, you look like your father, but yeah, your mother was... Oh yeah, we've done the mother was favourite bit.
Yeah.
And talks about how he has lots of fancy contacts.
Yes, I've got ones that look like cat's eyes, I've got zombie ones.
Look, wait here, Harry, let me fetch some. How about the red ones?
These ones make me look like a little anime 12-year-old.
Don't they, Harry, don't they?
Don't I look sweet and innocent, Harry?
He's just a big man with a moustache. With like bright blue contacts.
Yeah. Look how shiny they are. And Harry's like, this is uncomfortable. Can I have a cushion? Ah! That was terrible. I'm sorry. That might be the worst joke I've ever made. Fuck it.
What, this is uncomfortable. Can I have a cushion?
Yeah. Although now I'm hearing it back, I kind of like it.
It's a little Budum Tish joke.
Yeah. Yeah. I might just say that in social situations. Be like, can someone give me a cushion? Because this is getting uncomfortable. Yeah, boy. Oh, God. When he's talking about all the people who he's sort of mentored over the years and stuff, and Harry's like, so what, have they all been... Because he's received some gifts from them, and Harry's like, what, so have they been sending you stuff while you've been on the run? And he's like, no, sadly, I haven't been in contact with anyone for an entire year. I've been in hiding from the Death Eaters, you see.
Yeah, oh yeah, because earlier he said that he's been moving from house to house, never stays in any muggle house to muggle house, never stays in anywhere longer than a week. And so, yeah, he's like, no, I've been out of touch with everyone for almost a year.
Because I guess the Death Eaters must be trying to recruit him, right?
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Because why else would they be after him? Like, because he hasn't got any information.
No, but I guess he's a skilled, very skilled potion maker and purveyor of the dark arts, I guess, or, you know.
Or do you think Voldemort has sent them after him because they know that, because Voldemort knows that he's the only one who knows about his Horcruxes?
Yes, I reckon that's exactly it, yeah. Huh. And Dumbledore knows that, which is why Dumbledore's here trying to get him.
It makes you wonder, so he must be a very good wizard then if he's managed to evade capture.
Yeah.
Because you would think that there would be a point where Voldemort would have gone after him himself.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? And even maybe before he was revealed to be back with the Ministry kerfuffle, even it probably would have been easier to get him last year when nobody believed that Voldemort was back. It would have been easier for Voldemort to get him last year when he was still all being secret and stealthy, because Slughorn wouldn't have had protective measures
that's
in place.
Very true. Yeah, because he could have just sent a Death Eaters to just kill him while he was still in hiding.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just something that hadn't occurred to... Because maybe it wasn't a threat until... Maybe like it didn't occur to Voldemort that Slughorn could be a threat until after the Ministry thing happened.
Yeah.
But no, it must be longer than that. Because he's been in hiding for a year. So that means since last summer. So since like the start of Order of the Phoenix, which would have been just after Voldemort did come back.
Oh yeah,
so I guess
Slughorn must have taken the claims that he's back very seriously and... Yeah, been on the move this whole time. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, so yeah.
Yeah. Wow, I feel like we've just uncovered a mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very shrewd of Dumbledore as well to go after him.
Yeah, and also, how did he know? How did Dumbledore know?
Well, he suspected, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Which is why he wants Harry to go and extract the full... Because he has that altered memory.
Yeah, does he have that already? Or did he not get that until...
I can't remember, but there must be some... reason that Dumbledore suspects that he had this conversation with Tom Riddle about Horcruxes, and he has that altered memory, and yeah, so I think the reason for getting Slughorn in is obviously to get Harry to get the full memory out of him, and also I guess to keep him out of Voldemort's way, although I suppose
I think it's more to get... I get the feeling that Dumbledore wouldn't really care unless if once he got the memory.
Yeah, probably not, to be honest. I mean, why would he?
But anyway, yeah, like, Harry says, you know what, I think you'd probably be safest at Hogwarts. I mean, you know, Dumbledore was the only one that Voldemort ever feared.
Yeah, and Slughorn's like, well, I mean, it's true, he's never picked a fight with him, but God, if I take a job under Dumbledore, it'd be tantamount to declaring my allegiance with the Order of the Phoenix. And Harry's like, well, not exactly. But then I think he's kind of got a fair point, like, Harry says a load of the teachers there aren't in the Order, they just work there.
Yeah.
Which is...
I'm sure you'd be fine, mate.
Yeah, which is true, but it's a different situation to take a job there now that they're basically in open war.
But what's he like... It's not as if he could be in any more danger by taking that job.
Yeah, I mean, Voldemort must know that he's on the run from him.
Yeah. So why's he been a twat for?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Dumbledore's been waiting outside the room for that exact moment.
Yeah.
Then he... kicks the door and he's like, fuck, you know, I don't know what I ate, but I destroyed that bathroom.
I've done a real number on that one.
And then so Dumbledore says, anyway, Harry, should we fuck off? And then Slughorn's like, fine, I'll come back to Hogwarts.
I want a raise.
Yeah, so as much sugared pineapple as you can muster.
What is this thing with pineapple?
It's what he likes.
Is it?
Yeah, he likes sugared pineapple and little fat boys.
All right. And then Dumbledore explains a little bit of about Slughorn's MO and tells Harry about what his little, you know, his club and all that.
Yeah, Slug Club.
Yeah.
Slub.
Slub.
Oh, that sounds rank.
Get involved in the slub, Harry.
Oh, God.
But Dumbledore, I feel like at this point in the film, Dumbledore warns Harry, like in the book, Dumbledore warns Harry that Slughorn will try to collect you. You'll be the jewel of his collection, the chosen one. Yes. And then in the film, I think he says, I want you to let him.
Yes.
At this point.
But I want you to let him collect you, Harry.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
In this case, collect you means, he has a little diagram.
With arrows and insertion graphics.
I want you to allow him to collect remnants of your innocence, Harry. Like little postage stamps.
But he doesn't say that I want you to let him this point in the book. He just says, I want you to be careful. He will try and collect you, and leaves it at that.
Yeah, and then he grabs Harry's arm and gives him a kiss and is like, I'm so proud of you, Harry. Oh, God. And then they whoosh away in a puff of smoke, and then they appear outside Molly's chicken coop. He's like, oh, my favourite fried food establishment.
Yes, Molly's Chicken Coop. MCC.
And the only one owned by a white person in a country mile, Harry.
You should taste their gravy.
There's only salt and pepper here, I show you that. Oh, God. So they go into the chicken coop and he's like, Harry, I'm so proud of how you dealt with Sirius dying.
Yes, well done. Your parents and he would have been proud.
Yes. I mean, would they really, Harry? Because when you really think about it, you're the reason that they're all dead.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they would have been thinking, oh, yes, I'm so glad my son caused the death of us and our friend.
Yes, I mean, I'm sure your mother, her last moments are like, oh, I should have fallen down the stairs when I had the chance, but that's...
If I'd known my baby was going to be the chosen one, I'd never have got pregnant.
Yes, I never would have quit that amateur wrestling league. Would have taken care of everything for me. Nice punch to the gut and whoopsie days.
And Dumbledore says, yes, you may have heard there have been some leaks about what happened... I'm trying to make sense of what I've fucking written here. There have been some leaks about the contents of the prophecy, and Harry's like, yeah, where everyone knows now. And Dumbledore's like, well, no, there are only two people in the world who know the full contents of the prophecy, and they're both stood in this chicken coop.
Yes, except the third one, who's a fucking raving lunatic, who's running about my castle with a bottle of sherry, Harry! <It's>
like... I just can't catch him.
Him?
What? What are you talking about?
Who are you talking about?
No one. I thought you just made someone up.
No, fucking Trelawney.
Oh, well, she doesn't know. She doesn't remember.
I know, but I'm sure if she knocked her head hard enough, she'd remember. She'd be like, ah, fucking hell.
I thought you just made up another one of Dumbledore's little minions.
Like who?
just one of his gimps.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
He heard the prophecy, escaped, stole a bottle of sherry, and is running rampant around the castle.
Yes, he wears a little bell around his neck.
You thought that'd give him away, but he's hard to catch. I tell you, he's a slippery bugger.
He's got a thing for grapes, Harry. He's just covered in purple all the time. In fact, I think I kind of hate him, but then I love him too. Oh, I'm so confused, Harry. Oh, God. Anyway, then he's like, Harry, but I tell you what, I'll cheer you the fuck up. I'm going to give you private lessons this year.
Yes, you'll love that, won't you? And you've come to treasure your encounters with me. My random tangents about the horrific sexual things I do. Expect plenty more of that, Harry.
Yes, if you thought my Sirius Black was bad, I'd introduce you to my Rubius Hagrid. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell. But good thing is, you won't have to do Occlumency anymore.
Yes, so I won't be seeing Snape at all then, because I didn't get a good enough grade to do potions next year. And he's like, don't count your chickens on that one, Harry. But I want you to keep your invisibility cloak with you at all times.
Which was smart.
Yes. Which, I mean, why doesn't Harry do anyway?
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
I would find a way to just have a little insert in all of my cloaks.
I think we've had a whole conversation about this in book two.
I think we did.
But we can redo it if you want.
No.
We can do it as like a modern art piece.
What, the conversation about how Harry should keep his cloak with him?
We'll do it while playing Hacky Sack on a stage. Sorry, that was a joke from She's All That.
Okay.
So our listeners will know that.
All right, good. I just did my little sort of mini confused laugh.
Gotta keep going. It's such a shit film. That film is so bad. Anyway, chapter 5, An Excess of Pussy.
Yeah, Molly answers the door.
It's not called that.
No, it's called An Excess of Phlegm.
Yeah, and phlegm spelt weird.
Yeah, it's got random G in it.
Yeah, it's like phlegm.
Yeah.
Or pahelagum.
Oh, pahelagum.
And Hermione's ears prick up.
What?
I know, because it sounds like a Jewish greeting. Oh. Oh, good. We'll cut that. All right.
Yeah, Molly answers the door. And Dumbledore and Harry sort of step in, and Tonks is also there, and she looks
like shit. Oh my god.
Excuses herself quite quickly. And Dumbledore's like, oh, don't leave on my account.
She's like, no, it's fine, I left a bun in the oven. And then Dumbledore's like, oh, I can sort it out for you. And punches her in the gut. She's like, no, I meant a hot cross bun. And he's like, ah, I don't like those. And I don't like you.
In fact, get out. Yeah. Dumbledore just sort of disappears quite quickly as well.
Yeah.
Molly makes Harry some food.
Yeah, and then she says, like, him and Ron are growing too much.
Yeah, and she tells him Arthur has been promoted.
Yes, he's now King of Burger King.
He's now the Burger King, Harry.
Yeah. Have you seen how big his face has gotten?
We're going to do a merger with Burger King and Molly's Chicken Coop.
Just going to call it Molly's Chicken Burger Bonanza. There we go.
Yeah, Scrimgeour's set up a load of new offices, and Arthur is head of the Office of Detection and Confiscation of Counterfeit Defensive Spells and Protective Objects.
That's such a bollocks promotion.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a sideways move, because he was head of a department anyway.
Yeah.
So he's just set up a new department and made him head of that. And then Molly says, you can imagine, can't you? The potions that are just a bit of gravy with some booba tuba puss.
Does she really?
Yeah.
I completely missed that.
I couldn't believe it.
Oh, you can imagine, can't you, Harry? Saw that grave in the booba tuba puss. And he's like, what? And she's like, come over here, I want to show you something.
Why do you suddenly start like, talking like that?
And she opens a drawer and she's like, I'm the one selling them, Harry. He has no idea. I sell them and he takes them away.
And then I resell them again.
Yeah. It's like a sexy cycle. He's like, why are you leaking? She's like, I'm just so excited.
I'm always at work, Harry. Gravy don't make itself.
And also my floor needs another varnish.
Yeah. Ew. So yeah, we've got fucking McGonagall actually gives them biscuits, and Molly, you know, says the word gravy, which is...
That's enough of me. Oh, fucking hell.
Though we get a glimpse of the clock, and all the hands are pointing at mortal peril.
Because Arthur comes home,
and Arthur comes home, yeah.
And then he's like, Molly, security question.
She's like, oh, what's your greatest ambition? He's like, to find out how aeroplanes stay up.
Harry should have just said, well, like this, and just told him then, and then Arthur would have died a happy man.
Does Harry know how aeroplanes stay up?
Don't most people?
Does Harry? He only had, like muggle world education up until age 11.
I think so. I knew how aeroplanes stayed up by that age.
I don't know if I do.
It's the... So when the air passes over the shape of the wing, it creates like a sort of like a vacuous space underneath the wing, which that, through like the magic of science, creates, makes it elevate.
Yeah, see, it's that through the magic of science bit. That's the big hole in that explanation there.
No, but why is that a hole?
Because that's not an explanation.
No, but that is actually how it is.
Through the magic
of
science.
Current of air. No, yeah, but no, science, that is the it's like the current of air passing over the wing at that shape and that angle, it causes a vacuum of space underneath the wing that causes it to rise.
Right, and the engines can provide enough upward thrust to keep it buoyant in that
little
thing.
Yeah, kind of. With the engines and then the shape of that wing combined, it creates that. They're like, if you see, like, I saw it on... Was it on like How To? It must have been on like How To or one of those kind of shows when we were kids, and they had like a sort of like an animation of how it happens. So the air hits the wing, goes over the curve of the wing, and then there's like a huge amount of air that goes over the top of the wing and then less that goes under, and so that causes it to rise.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there we go then. I didn't even know that.
Yay! I did a smart. So yeah, and then he's like, and Molly, and she's like, no, not right now, Arthur. Harry's here. And he's like, what's no? What do I call you when we're alone together?
I mean, why would they choose that as their question? At some point, they're going to have to do it in front of people.
Yeah, right? She just said, I don't know, what was the first song we danced to?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, it smells like Teen Spirit. And he's like,
Yeah.
I haven't got a joke there. It just was.
Although that would have been that would have only been like 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, yeah, that might have just been the first song that they danced
just hadn't
to
danced
together.
For ages into their marriage. Yeah. I don't know. What year is this? 1996? Yeah.
Which means that Wannabe had just came out. So, Molly's like, oh, well, you call me your Molly Wobbles. And he's like, what happens when I poke you? And she's like, Molly Wobbles. And he's like, good job, sir. And then he kicks the door down. She gets crushed underneath it. And he's like, oh, well.
Molly doesn't wobble anymore.
And then... he says, hey, Harry, good day, sir. And I was like, all right, mate. He's like,
all right, mate. Molly shows Harry to Fred and George's room. To George's room. Because they're in their new flat above their shop in Diagon Alley.
Oh, these boys, I'm so jealous of their success.
I know, right? He sleeps for what feels like only a second before someone charges in, pulls the curtains open and says, all right, mate.
Yeah, and it's fucking Ron.
Yeah. With his classic catchphrase.
And then Hermione appears as well.
And Harry, yeah, fills them in about what he was doing with Dumbledore and with Slughorn.
Yeah, he does a Craig David.
Yes.
You like that one? And then Ginny appears.
Comes in complaining about what sounds like Molly, because she's like, oh, I can't stand that woman. And it sounds like a teenager bitching about her mum.
Yeah. Then Hermione goes, oh, yeah, she's so full of herself.
And Harry's like, that seems a very rude way for Hermione to be talking about Molly Wobbles.
Yeah, and then Ron's just like, oh, man, but she's so fierce. I just want to go, I touch her tits and stuff.
And Harry's like, yeah, it's definitely Molly they're talking about.
Harry thought it was weird when he first met them, but now he just realised that's what happens when a family loves gravy.
If your mother's gravy was as tasty as Molly's.
You'd love to grab her jubblies. Oh, God, wait, seconds later, the most beautiful girl in the world enters the room.
Sure.
That's what Harry says. Well, not like that, but he goes...
What is that? Dare I ask what song that is without being scolded for not knowing?
That's Prince.
Ah.
Yes, Prince. What a man. But he's dead now.
That's what it says on his gravestone.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah, Fleur comes in bringing Harry his breakfast. She's all like, "Oh Harry, I was so excited to see you."
"Yes, look, my dress is all stained."
"Yes, I will show you my titties if you want."
"Yes, my French titties." "These are macarons like you've never seen before." And he's like, "Well, not while everyone else is here." And he's like, "No, I think they would like to see it too. Wouldn't you, Ron?" And he's just like, "Ah." Oh my god. She fucking gives him eggs, didn't she?
Yeah.
She's like, "Yeah, I picked these from my ovaries this morning." Oh. And I was like, "Oh, it tastes all silver." Yeah.
"Is this ketchup on the side?" "No."
"But you are lucky because it's the first day, so it's extra potent."
Fucking hell.
"You know what they say, it tastes the best when the pigment is fresh." She's like, yes. iron is good for the bones. She says, did you know the news? Me and Bill are getting married."
Yes, which the others look thrilled about.
Yeah.
It's like, Bill is at work. He thought that it would be good for me to spend a few days here with his family. But there's not much to do here unless you like cooking and chickens.
I like how frank Fleur is. I appreciate that in a person.
Yeah, me too. Although, I mean...
Do you?
I don't know, a certain amount of it. You do need to dress it up in politeness.
Oh god, you constantly school me on how like I need to be more polite. Oh god. But yeah, she basically floats back out of the room and Ginny's like, "Oh, Mum hates her."
Fair enough.
Ginny's like, "Well, like, Mum's been inviting Tonks round a lot, and we think it's in the hopes that Bill will fall for her instead of Fleur." And I thought, that's such a weird conclusion to come to.
Yeah.
What, you look deep in thought?
No, I'm just trying to work out if I've got an opinion on that or not. The fact that it's taken me this long is making me think that I do not.
Anyway, Hermione picks up a thing that looks like a telescope. Everyone's like, "Be careful, that looks like it's one of Fred and George's."
Oh yeah, that's true. Harry takes Dumbledore's advice, and which we didn't actually mention at the time, but Dumbledore told Harry he should tell Ron and Hermione about the prophecy and confide in his friends more. So he's like, alright, so he tells them about the prophecy, and then as he's finished, there's a big like puff of smoke and Hermione goes, "Ah!"
And they all turn, and what awful thing could have happened?
Yeah, I'll think, yeah, okay. What was the telescope down? Put its fist in her fanny, in her bum.
Fist in her fanny. No, from Wizard's fist in her. Do you want a girlfriend with a bucket? Here we go, fist in her fanny.
Comes in starter, beginner, and expert. Wait, starter, beginner? They're both the same thing.
Comes in starter, intermediate, and Mayweather. Ah. Oh, God.
But yeah, punches her in the face, gives her a black eye.
Yeah.
And she gets all excited about the LWL results. And then Harry's like, oh, yeah, Dumbledore mentioned they would be coming today. And Hermione's like, and fucking pisses all over the floor and runs downstairs.
Yeah, everyone's like, she needs to sort out her priorities. Yeah. Yeah, so they go downstairs, have their second breakfast, I guess.
What about second breakfast? Yeah,
that was a good accent. Who was that impression of?
Thanks, that was Pippin from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then fucking owls show up. Owls.
Yeah, and Hermione is, I mean...
They deliver the post.
Yeah, Hermione's losing her shit.
She's like, I can't find it anywhere. And Molly's like, well, you see, Hermione, when you flush the chain, it goes away. She's like,
oh, like the bodies.
Oh, I liked it. It was like having little brown babies.
And Harry's like, have you never done a shit before?
And mine's like, what's a shit?
And Harry's like, I don't have time for this. The owls are almost here.
No, my mother always said, when you and a piece of cauliflower like each other very much, you eat it and it gives you a baby, and then you sit in the toilet and it comes out the bag.
And then you keep it, you add it to your monument in your bedroom.
And then if God loves you very much, on your 21st birthday, he brings all of them to life, and you have a little poo family. You call it your family.
You have a little army.
Now, I know what you're thinking, Harry, but as long as they're fighting for me, I quite like brown people.
Yeah.
I mean, they are, you know, the fruit of my loins, after all.
Yes, they're not to know what's going to happen to them after the war.
I mean, they're okay because I know them, you know?
Yeah, they're not like the rest of them. Not like the ones you read about in the news.
Yeah, not like those awful smelly runny shits, Harry. And Harry's like, I wish I'd never met you. Oh, fuck it. I don't even know how we got to that joke.
No, I... Right, so they're at the window waiting for the owls.
Yeah.
And then the owls arrive.
And then Harry takes his results and he gets results.
Yes. Have you written down what results he gets?
No.
I have.
I knew you would have, so I was like, I'm not going to bother. Oh, God.
So, so astronomy gets acceptable. Care of magical creatures exceeds expectations. Charms exceeds expectations again. Defense against the dark arts gets outstanding. Divination gets P, which I think is poor.
Yeah.
Herbology exceeds expectations. History of magic is D for dreadful. And potions exceeds expectations. And transfiguration exceeds expectations. And Ron gets basically the same, except he doesn't have the O on defense against the dark arts.
Yeah, which is a shame. I would have liked Ron to have got an O in something.
Yeah, just give him one in fucking charms or herbology or something.
Yeah, that would have been cool. I don't know, what would Ron have been good at? Something a bit, like, mundane.
Care of magical creatures?
Yeah, yeah, that would have been nice. But yeah, Hermione's, like, a bit upset.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you know, not bad. And then Ron seizes her envelope and he's like, you got 10 O's and 1 E.
He sees a lady envelope. And he's like, douche! You got 10 O's, 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 and 1 E, E.
Bloody hell, Hermione, it's cavernous in here.
Oh, I see you've been using the Mayweather. Oh, God. And Harry's upset because he didn't get an O in potion, so his dreams of being Aura are over.
Yeah.
And then we fly into chapter 6 like a, I don't know, an aeroplane, I guess.
Yes, now we know how they work. I really wanted to know what Hermione's 1E was in.
It was in Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Was it?
Yeah. Which I thought was weird because she's been like doing like the secret sessions with Harry like for like a year.
Yeah.
So surely she'd
do. Do we find that out later then?
No, it says it in the chapter.
Does it? I was listening out for it.
Yeah.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah. Do you believe me? I feel like you don't.
I was listening out pretty specifically for it. If I missed it, it would be weird.
I'm going to Google it because I'm 100% sure, but as usual, you make me doubt myself.
Okay.
What did Hermione get an E in?
No, well, I believe you that it was Defense Against the Dark Arts. I'm just not sure it was mentioned in this bit.
Well, no, it definitely was, because otherwise, how would I have remembered that?
Well, I don't know. You remember loads of random shit about these books. You've listened to them on repeat for years.
Why? Sorry. Yeah, why did Hermione only get an E on her Dada owl?
Yeah.
That's the first thing that comes up.
Huh. All right. Well, my question's answered either way, I guess.
Yeah. Right, chapter 6, Draco's detour.
Draco's detour.
Yeah, he goes on a tour looking for that good D.
keeps his Instagram stories updated. Draco's detour.
So today I'm at San Francisco Pride.
Yeah. See what D we can find here.
Oh, God. So they get the Daily Prophet.
Do they?
Yeah, because Karkaroff's body has been found in a shack on the rock.
yeah.
Yeah. And then someone's like, I think Arthur's like, oh, I'm amazed he managed to evade the Death Eaters for that long.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I guess so.
But then it makes you feel like, I guess like a year is probably like the amount that you probably can evade them. Because if they managed to find Karkaroff, then I bet Slughorn wasn't too far off being found.
Probably not, but I wonder if they were pursuing Slughorn with the same ferocity, you know. Karkaroff was an actual traitor to them.
I guess so, yeah, that's a good point.
Florian Fortescue's been dragged off, and Ollivander is gone.
Oh, but what about his ice creams, Tom?
Oh, Harry would just have to take a laxative and make that be the reason he shits himself.
Hermione's like, oh, so I see you're doing those kind of shits, are you? You know, I thought I knew you, Harry. I'm sorry. I feel that might be my favourite joke, like, tangent we've ever been on.
What, Hermione's
so poo, fucking nuts. Yeah. Just what the fuck? Oh my god, yeah. Yeah, and Oliver, and then everyone's like, oh, where are we going to get our wands from if Ollivander's gone? And Arthur's like, oh, just snap a twig off a tree. It does the same thing.
Yes. Freeze one of your poos.
Oh, can you imagine? Fucking hell.
Professor, my wand's thawing. Can I put it in a freezer?
Oh, your smelly brown hand. God.
You look just like Dumbledore.
And Dean's like, I'm not holding anything. Yeah. Then Hermione's like, I know. She's like, ow, what was that? He's like, oh, that's the Muhammad Ali. She's like, oh, come and find me later. Oh, fucking hell. Right, so a thing happened, which I'm sure you're going to flag up as well.
Okay.
Fucking Bill got money out of Harry's vault for him.
Yeah, yeah.
How, Tom?
I guess because he works there.
So he can go into any vault.
I mean, because he says, like, I got it out of your vault for you because the general public are having to wait hours in lines to get vaults, so I got it out for you. Implying that because he's not the general public, as in, like, staff, he was able to just do it.
That's nuts. Like, that is so bananas.
Yeah, it is. It's cray cray banane. / das nuts. Also, Harry's been made Quidditch captain.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Which gives him equal privilege to prefect for some reason.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like any time you get a badge, you get a bathroom.
That's just the kind of saunas you go to, Gifton. Yeah, they go to Diagon Alley with top ministry security.
Yeah, and Arthur's like, it's only because we've got Harry with us.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a bit rude.
Yeah, so they get the fancy car and they get told they're going to meet their top security when they get there.
Yeah.
Who does it turn out to be? It's old Rubby.
Have I got the like mind power to do like appropriate lyrics for Hagrid's thing? I mean, I can have a go, I guess.
Have a go, mate.
So he's gonna be the guard, it's Hagrid. He walks in front, he's looking hard, it's Hagrid. He gives a stare, he eats a fruit, he puts his arm up your shoe, it's Hagrid.
Oh, you got there. And it was fucking perfect.
My brain had like a bit of a seizure in the middle of that. I literally, I was like, what the fuck? And also, why do I keep doing this to myself?
I like all the theme tunes.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're all like, oh, it doesn't make sense for us all to go to Madame Malkin's. Why don't Harry, Ron and Hermione go with Hagrid off to Madame Malkin's and the rest of us will go off to wherever the hell they're going?
Yeah, where are they going? Oh, just to get the books.
Yeah, and yeah, so they go off with Hagrid. Diagon Alley's changed a bit. It's a bit gloomy. Lots of ministry posters and stalls out the front of closed shops. And they get to Madame Malkin's with Hagrid and he waits outside.
Yeah.
Top security. Top ministry security there. You go in the shop by yourself. It's not like there's going to be any dark wizards in there.
Yeah, I'm going to wait outside and start playing with the new set of crayons, Harry. Look, I drew a picture of this dog, Hagrid. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but that's not a dog. And he's like, oh, what is it then? And he's like, oh, you've drawn a Confederate flag. And he's always like, oh, sorry about that. I was just tracing from a new book that Hermione gave me.
Sorry about that.
So they go inside, and who the fuck is in there, Tom? Getting his trimmings jostled.
Yeah, getting his jostles trimmed. It's the second time he's run into Malfoy in Madame Malkin's robe shop.
When was the first time?
The very first time they met.
Ah.
They meet in Madame Malkin's robe shop and Harry thinks that he's a bit of a snooty prick, but he's polite and this is the first other wizard of his age he's met. So he's just like nodding and smiling like, yeah, sure. And then he meets him again on the train after having befriended Ron. And he's like, oh, I saw you in the Madame Malkin's.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. Okay.
Don't want to get involved with the wrong sort. And Harry's all like, I think I can tell the wrong sort for myself. Thanks.
Yeah. I make sure all the poos I'm friends with are fucking rock solid.
Ron's like, did you just call me a poo?
And Malfoy's like, well, I only make friends with the kind of poos that are like those dog poos from the 80s that were fucking bleached white in the sun. do you know why that was, by the way? It's because dog food back in the day had too much calcium in it.
Oh, great. That's another little nugget of information. Eh?
That's it, with the new pamphlet that Hermione's handing out. Nuggets of information.
What kind of poo are you?
Oh, God. So, yeah, but Malfoy's in there and he's like, oh, stop sticking me with your pins.
Not there, anyway. Get it right.
Malfoy looks over to his right and sees Hermione come in. And he's like, oh, you know what, mother? If you smell that fucking awful smell, it's because of mudblood.
It's because this freak thinks it's appropriate to build an army of poo.
And then, what's her name? Malkin's like, oh, there's no need to use language like that.
Yeah, and it all basically disintegrates into a shitty fucking almost duel.
Yeah, Narcissa's like, oh, you think you're so good, don't you, Harry? And Vinny's like, yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, whose husband's in Azkaban? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and she's like, whoa, whose godfather isn't anywhere at all? No. And then Harry just gobs in her face and she gobs back and then they're like, oh, let's make love.
Yeah.
So you just pull one of the robes that are on offer around them. And all you can hear is like, oh, yeah. Hmm.
Oh, yeah, spit in my face again.
No, suck it out. Oh, no, have you not seen that video, Harry? You know, about the cup? He's like... Yeah. And Malfoy's like, mother.
Not in public. Yeah. I know you're missing father, but...
And then after they finish, they stand up, dust themselves off.
I wonder if we'll if there'll ever be an encounter between two people that doesn't end up sexual somehow.
If it's not going to end up sexual, it's going to end up violent.
Usually both.
Yeah. Yeah, sexual violence. We've abbreviated to silence, Tom. Fuck it, that felt really dark. Oh, fuck, you know. Anyway, then Narcissa puts her beekeeping hat back on and then she's like, come on, Malfoy, now I know what kind of pool keepers work here or shop here and I want to go somewhere else. I've heard they've got a TK Maxx around the corner. And he's like, ah, oh, good shout, young mistress.
And then that's a weird thing to call your mother, but fine.
Well, she calls me young master. It's like, ah, oh, fair dues. Yeah, it's when they flounce out.
Yes, they pick out some other bits and then they go to visit Fred and George's new shop.
Yeah. Fred! Sorry.
Yes.
And what's it called? Wallabies Winking Wankers. There we go. That's what the three W's mean, right?
Wallabies Winking Wankers.
Yeah.
Wallabies Wanking Winkers.
Ooh, I like that. A winker sounds like a mischievous, like, middle-aged man.
Yes, and a wanking winker.
Yeah, Wallabies Wanking Winkers. So it's...
Wanking Winkle Pickers.
No, what's a winkle? Isn't that that's like a seafood, isn't it?
A winkle, a periwinkle is something.
I think that's a like sort of like a cockle, not a cockle. What's those weird salty East End food item I was telling you about?
Jelly deals.
No, the other thing is it cockles?
Maybe.
I think so. I think winkles are like a similar thing.
Yeah, a winkle is a small herbivorous shore-dwelling mollusk with a spiral shell.
Okay, yeah, so...
Or two, informal, a child's term for a penis.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this is an Australian-owned business where men masturbate whilst waxing the hair from the groins of other men. So Wallabies Wanking Winkle Pickers.
Oh, Winkle Pickers actually shoes.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they? What do they look like?
They're the shoes. They're like the nice fancy shoes. Like men's dress shoes that go to a point at the end.
Oh, I never knew that. What, so an Australian owned business where the shoes wank themselves?
Yeah, it's a big shoe orgy.
Oh, God. Anyway, it's not that at all. It's the World Wide Web, and they go inside. And they go inside, and Fred and George are like, hey, and give him shit.
Yeah. They, oh, yeah, there's a whole thing about you-know-who. You should be getting you-know-poo, something about constipation.
That's never explained any further. I don't see the point of it.
No. I guess just give a little flavour of the shop.
This is what Hermione's been looking for.
Yeah.
Oh, she's finally an emergency contraceptive.
And they're selling those daydream charms.
Oh, mate.
Which sound amazing.
Yes, what I would have given to have those in high school. My God.
Yeah, they're doing seriously well. And Hermione says about the daydreaming charm, that's remarkable magic. And they're like, oh, thanks, Hermione. Take one for free. And how about
She's
something?
She's like, really? And they're like, no. Yeah. Get that bag.
And they give her something for the bruise on her eye. And they take Harry into the back where they've got the good shit. Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people struggle to do a decent shield charm, because they didn't have lessons from you, of course, Harry. So we were joking around with some like shield hats, and then the Ministry ordered 500 of them, so we started going full defense against the dark arts. Got instant darkness powder, a diversion thing, diversion and explosion thing. I forgot what it's called.
I can't remember either.
Yeah, but they're doing bloody well.
I get the hat theme. I think the other things are more like villainous artifacts than like defensive artifacts. Personally,
instant darkness powder,
yeah, and like the diversion sound thing, it seems a bit, because they're only used for bad things in this book series.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So it's just a bit weird that they're allowed to sell that stuff. Yeah. As we know, there's no regulations, so.
No, exactly, it's not really defense against the dark arts, it's more like
dark arts.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
literally one of them's darkness powder.
Which I think does sound awesome.
Yeah,
it's like the perfect Shazam powder.
Yeah, Shazam.
And then they fucking have a go at Ginny for going out with so many boys.
Yeah, and it's like two, she's had one boyfriend and they broke up and now she's got another one.
Saying they're like slut shaming her, and I'm like, fucking leave her alone.
Yeah,
tricks. Yeah, anyway, so Harry looks
wow, a bit of sincerity there.
Well, despite what people might think, Tom, we're not a fucking arse.
Yeah, we're not actual monsters. Just the characters we play.
Yeah, but Harry looks out the window and he sees Malfoy like skulking about outside and then heading down like...
Yeah, at it her with a selfie stick updating his Instagram story on the detour.
Oh, God. And he's like, yeah, I know defense against that dark art. Oh, Malfoy. So, yeah, they follow him.
Yeah, they follow him down to Nocturne Alley.
Yeah.
With all three of them trying to cram under the invisibility cloak.
Can you say Nocturne Alley in Hermione's accent?
Fucking Nocturne Alley. Fucking Alley.
You haven't done Hermione accent in ages.
Well, she has a little bit of a scene after they observe Malfoy.
She does. Okay, I'm excited.
All right, you've got a role play Borgin.
Okay. What's Borgin's accent? Oh, Borgin talks a bit like this, I think.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah, with like the hunched shoulders.
Yeah, you gotta commit.
Yeah.
Physicality is part of the voice.
So yeah, they follow him and he goes into Borgin and Burke's. And Ron says, ah, look what I've got. And he's got extendable ears.
Yeah, and he puts it on his peepee and he's like, hoo, hoo, hoo.
Press that down his urethra and he's like, look, my ball sack can hear everything.
So they hear Malfoy talking to Borgin. Borgin?
Borgin. Borgin. Burger King. He's like, can I have a double whopper, please? Yeah. He's like, wait, like, aren't you that ginger's dad? Yeah. And they're like, yes, I got promoted.
I'm the king of burgers now.
And he's like, wow, no, I guess you really are moving up in the world. And Arthur's like, I don't think you mean that.
But yeah, Malfoy's like, do you know how to fix it? Borgin's like, yes, you'll need to tell me, give me instructions, and I'll need to fix it. And he's like, oh, well, without seeing it, I don't know if I'm going to be able to. Malfoy's like, oh, I'm sure you'll figure it out. Fenrir Greyback will be popping in from time to time to make sure you're giving this matter your full attention.
Yeah, no, Alden Malfoy goes, maybe this will persuade you, and he shows him something, which is his dark mark. His dark mark.
It's fucking dark mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he says, what about this one? Can you take this with you now? And Malfoy's like, no, I'm not walking out of here with that. You keep it safe. Don't sell it.
He's like, all right, sir. And then he fucks off, and then Hermione gets brave.
Yeah, he walks straight into the shop and is like, all right. That wasn't Scouse. I don't know what the fuck that was.
No, that was like Cilla Black, like, all right, Chuck, like that.
All right, love. That's fucking...
No, that sounds like Tongs.
Yeah. And she walks in and goes, fucking A.
He's like, oh, we don't get your sort round here.
Hey, shut the fuck up, you cunt.
He's like, oh, what can I do for you, young missy? You look like a bird who's on the town for a wild ride. You know what I'm saying?
Now you're fucking talking my language.
And he's like, what? Oh, I was only joking, miss.
Hey, no fucking takesies, backsies.
Like, no, it's quite, no, I'm sorry, like, I'm married.
Get over here.
No, please, my wife, she's really ill. Oh my god.
Alright, that's so Hermione walks into Borgin Burks and rapes a guy.
Oh, fucking hell. What does she say?
She's like, is this thing for sale, mate?
And he's like, if you got a million galleons.
And she's like, do I look like I got a fucking million galleons, you cunt? Fucking prick.
No, you look like you've got a smelly brown fish.
A smelly brown something, mate. Yeah, and then she says that boy, Draco Malfoy, who just came in, is a friend of hers, and she wants to get him a gift for his birthday, but he's like, reserved anything to buy himself. She doesn't want to get him that. Like, did he reserve anything?
And Borgin's like, oh, I don't think so, Mr. Yugi. I was like, I'm here. And then he gets a shotgun out from behind the counter. He's like, you get out of here.
And he's like, looks like the spider caught himself a couple of flies.
Oh god, who is Zed? Zed's dead, baby. Ah, movie references.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, so Hermione gets outside and Ron's like, oh, it was worth a try, but you were a bit obvious.
Yeah, and she tells him to fuck off. And they go and rejoin the others in the Weasley's Wizarding Wheezes. And they tell Molly they were in the back room the whole time and she just must not have looked properly.
Yeah. And then the chapter comes to beautiful close.
Yes.
Beautiful close. And yeah, that's the end of it all.
Yes.
The book ends with such a mystery that you're amazed she managed to write a seventh one. But yeah, well, thank you for listening, everybody.
Yeah, we're getting closer to our Patreon launch date.
And exciting. Yeah. So Patreon launch, our merch launch. So if any of you feel like supporting us for the hard work we do, then either send us cash in an envelope or buy a t-shirt or buy a Patreon subscription.
Yes. Do you know what? Scrap the cash in the envelope. Just the other two.
Check us out on Instagram at PoilyRedPod. Check us out on Twitter at PoilyRedPod. And email us for tings at PoilyRed@gmail.com.
Yes, all your tings.
Come back next week for more thrilling tales from, I don't know, from Hermione's poo, I guess.
Apparently.
Poo's clues. Oh, I don't know. I've lost the plot now. Fucking hell, I've been gifted.
I've been Tom.
And Pooh's been Pooh.